There are a lot of issues that people feel strongly about in Wisconsin. One that's gotten people fired up on both sides of the issue is trains, high-speed rail, to be exact. While many might immediately think back to Scott Walker's 2010 campaign to become governor and his early days in office, in fact, high-speed rail has been a contentious topic in Wisconsin since the 1990s. A new WPR podcast just launched today. It's called Derailed. It's all about this issue and how it's played out in our state over several decades and in other parts of the country, too. You can listen at WPR.org/derailed or wherever you get your podcasts. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson talked to WPR Special Projects reporter Bridget Bowden and WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about the project.
When you talk about high-speed rail in Wisconsin, many people go back to one of Scott Walker's first accomplishments, which was to kill the planned route between Madison and Milwaukee. But that wasn't the beginning of the issue, was it?
No, I mean, this issue is, we started talking about it around 2009, 2010, but it had really been proposed a decade before that by another governor, Republican Tommy Thompson. And this wasn't just something that he, you know, tucked into a budget or something and didn't talk about. This is something he was very passionate about. He talked about it in a couple of his final State of the State speeches, made a very grand pronouncement about this being the future of transportation in the Midwest. He was chairman of Amtrak at the time. He was kind of setting the Republican agenda, and this was his train. This is something that he wanted to, you know, get done by 2003. You know, he was appointed to the Bush administration in 2000, and so that dream was kind of cut short for him. But that's where it got its start.
So a lot longer than some people might realize.
Yeah, I mean, it was resurrected because of the stimulus in, you know, after the election of Barack Obama. We're coming out of this, you know, great recession. The stimulus has passed and there's a huge investment in rail, and that rekindles this debate. But it started long before that.
And it's certainly been a topic of heated conversation right here on the Ideas Network over the years. Here's a taste of that from the podcast.
We wonder if you support high-speed rail in Wisconsin. Where do you want to see it go? Will you ride the trains once they're here?
I am all for the rail. I think it'll bring more transportation and more jobs to the area of Madison.
We could build a nice pyramid in the middle of Johnson's Creek for $810 million, and yeah, that would create jobs in the short term. But what good is it going to do in the long run if nobody uses it?
Saying no to rail now would be the equivalent of Walker saying no to the internet 10 years ago.
I'm a train nut, but I'm against this.
So, Bridget, why do you think this issue had and still has people on both sides so riled up?
That's such a great question. And honestly, that's one of the questions that we're trying to answer in this podcast is what is it about this train? Because the more we report on the issue, the more we've found that people on both sides of the issue, people who thought that it was going to be the future of transportation and people who thought it was just too expensive, even 10 years later, all of those people still feel very passionately about this issue. And that has been really interesting for us to dig into.
I actually remember in 2011 when all of the Act 10 protests were going on and there were all these signs and everything. And there was one guy standing there with a sign that said, "I'm still mad about the train."
Yeah, people are still mad even now.
There's one thing that when we go back and look at the events around this train, things happened so fast during this period, you know, with the election of Barack Obama and the, you know, ascent of Democrats to, you know, controlling the Senate and the House in Washington, controlling state government, the recession, the Tea Party happens, Scott Walker happens, Act 10 happens. There's just a lot that happened in those few years. And this train is kind of along for that journey. I mean, it is kind of exemplary of the debates that we were having at the time.
So, Bridget, why tackle this topic now?
Again, even 10 years later, it's one of those things that people are still really fired up about. And so in terms of being a good story, it's a great story. People feel really passionately about it. But it also is a good way to look at how our politics have changed within the last 15 or 20 years. You know, when we're talking about going from Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, who really pushed this train project, to Republican Governor Scott Walker, who ultimately killed it. the change that happened in that period is fascinating to examine.
And you mentioned in the trailer to the podcast, which people can check out at WPR.org/derailed, this issue involved three Wisconsin governors, as you said, two Republicans, Tommy Thompson and Scott Walker, with Jim Doyle in the middle. Here's a little bit of Democrat Jim Doyle and Republican Scott Walker.
I mean, I guess short of sitting down in front of the federal government and defying the federal government, I don't think it's realistic that this, project would stop.
Now more than ever, we need a leader who's going to tell the federal government that we don't want an $810 million train that we don't need and can't afford.
We're talking right now with Bridget Bowden. She's WPR's special projects reporter, and Sean Johnson. He's WPR's Capitol Bureau chief. We're talking about the new WPR podcast called Derailed, a look at the history of the issue of high-speed rail in Wisconsin. So, Sean, you've been watching state politics here for a long time. What was the most interesting aspect for you looking at those three governors on this particular issue of high-speed rail?
Well, I guess the change from Tommy Thompson, the Republican, to Scott Walker, the Republican, we know they're different Republicans. They have different records. But to go from one to the other in about a decade just shows you kind of how much the politics of Wisconsin changed. So I think that's one. I think looking back at the way that Doyle handled this during the recession, and, you know, the way that he was really pushing for this in conjunction with the White House, just seeing those steps along the way and how quickly things were happening behind the scenes, and I guess how close they got, that's been interesting to look back at.
I think one of the interesting things, Bridget, is we see, as Sean said, such a difference between two different Republican governors, and yet kind of the through line on this is people feeling so strongly on both sides of it. And it doesn't seem like there was a point where overwhelmingly people felt one way or the other. There really has been this contrast and conflict through the whole thing.
I would say that it's definitely become more of a partisan issue. You know, we think about passenger rail in 2019, and it comes to mind as something that is divided along party lines. But I'm not sure that it's always been quite so divided, and we'll be getting into that.
Well, and as we heard, there were people who say, you know, I'm hugely for trains, but I'm not for this project, or I'm for economic development, but I'm not for this. And it seems like this has not been an issue where people have necessarily fallen along the lines that we might expect.
I think the lines have changed.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they do change a little bit around the time of the stimulus and this train. When Barack Obama's president, Scott Walker's running for governor, people's positions harden at this time. And I think really, if you want to step back even and look even more broadly, there's an argument to be made that people's positions on a lot of things hardened after that Great Recession, that the politics of America, of Wisconsin, which were already divided, became more so after that recession. And that's the world we're living in today.
So you're looking at these three governors and the roles that they played. What other aspects of the issue are you looking at?
A few other things. So if you remember the deal that the state had with the Spanish train manufacturer Talgo and how that fell apart, we'll be looking at that. We're also going to take a look at where some of our money went after we sent the money back to the federal government. So I took a trip out to California, which also got stimulus money and is building a high-speed rail line. And that's still happening today. So I went to check it out, see how that's going, and sort of follow the money that way.
So both states got the stimulus money. We sent it back and didn't try to build the train. California did. But little teaser here, it hasn't gone as smoothly as maybe they had hoped.
So the construction is very much still in process. They're not going to see a train for a long time. And so we'll tell you all about that.
And what else can we look forward to?
I think we're going to do our best to explore that question about what has changed. And why has this particular issue become an issue that, I mean, you kind of know it when you see it. You bring this up and people are jumping out of their boots wanting to talk about it, right? So why? Why is that? I'm not sure we can definitively answer that, but I think it's a question worth asking, and it's definitely one we're going to explore.
Anything surprise either of you as you were doing your research, talking to people? Did anything stand out that for you was like, wow, I hadn't thought of that?
For me, I was surprised that the project started with Republican Governor Tommy Thompson. I didn't cover this when it happened. So it's all been kind of new for me. But that was definitely a big surprise.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've alluded to this, but just kind of like how quickly things are happening. And I guess the way things ended up, without giving out too much information, you know, just following like what happened with the Talgo trains, for example, I think that is, you know, very interesting and I think worth a listen.
Well, thank you both so much. And we'll definitely check in with you maybe towards the end of the run. How many episodes are we looking forward to?
We're looking at six, I think. We're going to say six, and, you know, it's a podcast, so maybe there's bonus content or something like that. It's, like, I guess, the beauty of not having that definitive end.
All right. Well, thanks both of you for joining us, Bridget Bowden and Sean Johnson from WPR News.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, WPR Special Projects reporter Bridget Bowden. They talked to Central Time Executive Producer Judith Sears-Poisson about the brand-new WPR podcast, Derailed. The first episode is available today. There will be new episodes released on Wednesdays. You can find them at wpr.org/derailed or anywhere you usually get your podcasts.